How many of you read Pastor Bob's blog this week? Okay, I'd like to encourage everybody else to read it. You should read it every week, but especially this week. He didn't have much good to say about our president, Joe Biden. I was shocked to hear him say that. And I always thought that, you know, in the last 100 years, the worst president we've ever had, in my mind, was Jimmy Carter. Okay? But now we've got a president who's worse than Jimmy Carter, you know, in my judgment. So we need to pray for him. I have to admit, I find myself having trouble to pray for this leader. Okay? So let's just leave that at that. Bob last week talked about two men in his life who are large in his life. They're big shots, probably John Piper and Mark Dever. I'm sure those kind of people. When I went to Washington, D.C. 7 years ago to preach, we went to Mark Dever's church. Anyway, we met Mark Dever for 10 minutes, Keith Keener and I. And he said, you know what, guys? The best pastor, in my judgment, in North America is Bob Johnston. Wasn't that cool?
Yeah.
He really said, I love Bob Johnston. And I'm sure that's who Bob was talking about, having somebody in his life that cares about him. And then we need a little encouragement. Something good happened in Texas this week. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Did you ever think you could ever? There's a little bit of hope there. Isn't that wonderful?
Yep. Well, there's sure a lot of people complaining about that, isn't
there? Oh, of course. Oh, there's going to be a revolution. You watch. There's going to be a revolution. And then I read this week that they had a professional survey had been done over the last several months on hate crimes. You're going to be shocked if you didn't read it. 60% of all what they call hate crime, a hate crime in their mind is if I say something to somebody about living an immoral life, I'm guilty of a hate crime, you know. But anyway, 60% of all the hate crimes in America over the last year were against Jewish people. They make up less than 2% of the population. They're a minuscule group of people, but they get 60% of the hate crimes. I found that rather interesting. All right, we're going to continue on, and we're going to act like you just heard me last week, 5 minutes ago. Just can't go back and review. If you're new, I'm sorry, you'll just have to kind of catch up, okay? Let's go to verses 13 and 14, 2 Corinthians 4. Lord, we're going to look at your word. We ask for encouragement. And it's dynamic stuff here. This is life-changing stuff. This is hit-the-road stuff, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at verses 13 again. Just read that, and then I want to read 14, okay? 2 Corinthians 4, I'm reading out of the NIV. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. And here's the verse we're going to look at. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Okay? If we find it strange that Paul is not shaken by the constant danger of death in his life, okay? To me, this verse profoundly and finally answers that question. And I want you to think it through with me for a minute. I want you to capture this. First of all, he says, this life is not long. It's a short life in comparison with eternity, okay? It's a very small part of our existence. And Paul says, I know that. I understand that. And the second thing he says is he was certain of the resurrection. That makes all the difference in the world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and my resurrection makes all the difference in the world as to how I live my Christian life. Okay? Paul said in other portions of Scripture, if there's no resurrection, we have just wasted our lives. You know, you might as well go out and, he didn't say this, but you might as well go out and get drunk. Might as well smoke some pot, whatever everybody else is doing, because it ain't worth it. You are of all men most miserable if the resurrection isn't true. That made such a difference. And I don't know about you as a Christian, the idea that I'm going to be with Jesus for the rest of my forever makes all the difference in the world in how I try to conduct myself day by day. Okay? It makes all the difference in the world about how I approach people, you know, and tell them about Jesus Christ every opportunity given. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what he says here in verse 14. By the way, Tracy, you have the horn right there? You have the horn right with you? If you don't mind, could you blow it at 4 after? I'm stealing 4 minutes today because Mike stole 15 minutes of my talk. I'm only kidding. But at 4 after, please, give me 4. It's a Labor Day. You don't have to get up tomorrow early. Any words of comfort? The resurrection? Any comfort for anybody? Any thoughts? All the difference in the world. 15. Let's go to 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Oh my goodness. Paul says with certainty, I'm willing to go whatever God throws at me, whatever he gives me. You know, whatever he throws at me, I'm willing to go through anything he gives to me. Because all such suffering has a twofold result. Number one, the suffering abounded in blessing for the Corinthians. Through suffering, Paul got there, and when he got there, a lot of people got saved. Okay? A lot of people got saved. And secondly, this thanksgiving abounds to the glory of God. He gets all the credit for it. Okay? And I just get to sit there and just say, oh, man, look at this Jesus. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Look at this guy. Look at this guy coming forward here. Look at this guy coming into my life. Oh, what a privilege, Lord. You get all the glory. He realized that the more he suffered, the more the grace of God was available to others. It's wonderful. Okay? It's wonderful. I am so glad that I am a Christian. I am so glad that we know Christ as our Savior. What a difference it makes in our life day to day. You know, I got on the car today. We drove down the street. I was the only car that drove down the street today. Nobody else is going to church. Basically. But guess what? What's that?
They already left.
Well, maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think so.
You know what?
But guess what? The best hour of the week, I told you this. The best hour of the week is the hour coming up. This is a good hour. This is a good hour. But the next hour is the best of the week. Okay? And what a blessing it is to worship and to hear the word explained. And by the way, if all goes well today, Kevin Sayers is going to be in the big house. Kevin Sayers, that man has been suffering unbelievably for 8 months. And some of us have been just pouring our prayer hearts out for him. And he may be in the big house tonight, today. And I told his son, because he called me yesterday, I said, there'll be 100 people around this, dear brother. Am I right? For those of you that have been here a long time, you know what'll happen. He's going to be there, Lord willing. We'll see. All right. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
Amen.
This is an incredible scripture. He said, I don't lose heart. I'm not discouraged. I'm sure Paul had days of discouragement. But overall, I'm not discouraged at all. Hey, my physical body is decaying. things are going are falling apart on me. Okay? There's no doubt about it. But there is a super spiritual renewal going on in my life day by day. Although I know the body's decaying, we spend 90%, and I think it's great. I loved your prayer meeting today, by the way. I loved your prayer meeting. Our prayer meeting. Am I part of this class? Yeah, I am part of this class. Am I on the list? He said he did a new address list, but I've never got a copy, Wade. I never got a copy. Where's the address list? He said, didn't know where. Oh, I'm used to having a hard copy, you know, but I know it's on the web and all that stuff. I know the body's decaying. I know all about it. But I want to tell you something, and I'm going to be a little crazy, a little controversial here, okay, if you don't mind, even if you do mind. God has sent super power for Christian service. Becky Martin, she just left. And by the way, thank the Lord for Roy. In fact, I want to give a hand to one of our class members. I don't know if she's here. To Roy and Rosanna Schnepper. They kept Becky in their home for almost 2 months. She's on her way somewhere else. Becky Martin is a hero. She's a Christian hero. 30-some years in Nepal, folks. Until 10 years ago, I didn't even know where Nepal was. I knew it was over there somewhere. I love Becky Martin. What she has done, it's unbelievable what's taken place. Thanks to Becky Martin. David Livingston. David Livingston, to me, is one of the greatest Christians that ever lived on the face of the earth. I love David Livingston. I praise God for a man like that. Oh, he got sold out for Jesus, and nothing stopped him. My dear friend who just died this year, Shirley Chumley. Dear Shirley Chumley. Yeah. Shirley, 40 years. Are you kidding me? 40 years in Africa, in the Congo, in some forsaken Muslim pathetic islands off the coast of Madagascar. 40 years. Are you kidding me? She's my hero. She's my hero. And she finished her days the last several years. You know her, many of you. Shirley finished her days here at our assembly. She got pancreatic cancer 7, 8 years ago, okay? 97% die rate. She was one of the three that survived. I said, Shirley, God's got more for you. She ran this second language thing that we got going on Wednesday night here. She ran that, helped on that for many years. Wow. These people live for Jesus. Super excitement about following Jesus Christ. These are the people that I look up to. These are people who suffered in many ways. Oh, that they love Jesus Christ. I told you I may be a little crazy. Brian Fissler. Not Fissler. What's Brian's name?
Fisher.
He was an elder when I was an elder a couple years ago. You know, we all got 60-some people assigned to us to watch over, okay? And I have to admit, most of us do a pretty pathetic job. We don't follow up like we should. We don't send those cards quite like we'd like to. You know, we got 4 kids, we got a job, we're working 60 hours a week, and then we're going to try and be an elder and care for 60 people. Okay, it's not easy. It's not easy. Let me tell you what, Brian Fissler took care of every single one of his 60. I mean, he followed up on them. He called them, he emailed them. Every Sunday he would have them, people come and surround him, he'd pray for them and so on. Brian Fissler is a hero. Super Christian activity. He was sold out for Jesus and is sold out for Jesus Christ. Wow, what an example. By the way, Mike Wade was the same way as an elder. Man, did he follow up on people. Mike and Tracy have a fantastic class they lead here, and I know a lot of you are all involved in it. I won't leave out a lot of you either. But I want to tell you what, we do have a wonderful class. Thank God for that couple. they do an outstanding job. Why? Like the Apostle Paul. They're sold out for Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're suffering. There's things going on. Discouragement. It doesn't matter. They're up and at it. Okay? This crazy wait, he's texting me this morning at 7:30. I've already got my phone on vibrate, you know, so it doesn't ring in church. And I'm driving down the street, it's vibrating. He's asking me about our brother who just had the serious operation, a little update. And then we got a guy who was an elder, John Wimple. John Wimple leads our Edge class. John Wimple is teaching our youth group today. I told Pam, Pam's in there. I said, man, you're in for a real treat. John Wimple, are you kidding me? I've taken classes with him on Wednesday night, and boy, are they good. John Wimple, it's 60-some people. When I stopped being an elder, I had 60-some people. At least 40 of those were in my Sunday school class that I taught. So he took on all those 40 people. These are all old people. These are hurting people. These are needful people. You know what John Wimple did? I told you I'm crazy and I'm loud and I'm nuts, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. John Wimple personally called and visited almost all those people. And Joel, last week he told me he went and saw Sister Sykes. Nobody gives a hoot about Sister Sykes anymore. She's in a nursing home. I'm sorry, it gets that way. I don't mean we don't care, but sometimes they get forgotten. Not with Wimple. He's over there praying with that dear sister.
Awesome.
Wow. This is the kind of Christianity Paul's talking about. And all the suffering that's going on and all the hardships, it doesn't matter. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ.
That's right. Okay.
Now, I'm a little preachy today because I just am. Any thoughts on that? I want to go to 17. 17 is lightning rod. Any thoughts on that? Go ahead.
So it sounds to me, Barry, what you're saying is no matter what we're going through, no matter even if we're going through suffering, we can still be on fire for Jesus and serve and love others well.
Amen.
I think that's what you're saying.
There it is.
It's sort of like because we're going through suffering.
Yeah.
We can be
yeah.
Yeah. It's wonderful. All right, 17. This one's good. They're all good, but this one's good. Look at 17. For our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Are you kidding me? That far outweighs them all. Oh, wow. This light affliction, can you imagine? Paul says, this light affliction that I'm going through hardly means a thing to me. When I compare it with the eternal weight of glory, really, it's no big deal. You know, it's no big deal. It's only for a moment, and the glory is for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Makes all the difference in the world. Keep your focus on the right thing. Keep your focus on the right thing, Becky Martin. Mm-hmm. Becky's got her focus on the right things. Let me tell you, she does.
Very.
Any other thoughts? Go ahead, bro.
Would you say it's safe to say that other than Christ, Paul suffered more than any other Christian ever? I think when you look at everything he went through, the shipwrecks,
yep.
And then he died a martyr. And then to say that, it's just...
Isn't that incredible?
It's amazing.
He says it's a light thing. In comparison to eternity, it's nothing, Paul says. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. This is the life we're called to live, folks. This is the life we're called to live. And the last verse is verse 18. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, mm-hmm. but what is unseen is eternal. Now, I'll come right to that. In 2 weeks, we're going to do weeping and crying. Christians weeping and crying. Okay? And I wanted to show you, I have it all here. Okay? You're all going to get a real fancy outline. I've actually got verses typed. Mike Wade is going to be very proud of me. Okay? So in 2 weeks, I was going to hand these out today, but I'm not going to do that because then you'll sit and read these while I try to talk. But I got it all ready. You know, we're going to talk about weeping and crying. And I'll tell you what, the Scriptures has a lot to say about it. And it's good. It's good. Let's go to 18 here. See if I can do this here. Sorry. Tears. Tears of joy. He says, look. He's not just talking here about human vision. Okay? Rather, if I see it right, it conveys the idea of regarding something as very important. I want you to focus for a minute, is what I get out of it. The object is what matters. And here it is. As far as the things which are seen is concerned, they are not the goal of one's existence. Wow. In this verse, they are primarily referring to things like hardships, trials, and suffering, which Paul endured, and which you and I endure. But he says this, the great object of his ministry was what is not seen. So when you're going through a hardship in your life, and you wonder how you're going to get there. You know, you wonder how I'm going to get through it. You know, some of you got a daughter way off the rails. Some of you have got people who are on the verge of death right now. Only a miracle of God will change it, and so on. How am I going to get through this? If I understand these scriptures right, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on the right thing, and you'll be amazed what God will do. All right. I want to open up. I kind of was preachy today. Forgive me. I wanted to finish 18 today. What's your thoughts on all of this? Help me. Correct me. What's your thoughts? Come on, two or three of you.
When you think about people in the world, okay, because we like to watch Ninja Warrior. These guys work for a year for a chance at winning $1 million. They got to go through all this, and that prize is temporary.
Yes.
But the thing is what's the sense if you can gain the world, you lose your soul?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't make sense what people do. They purposely go through suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To gain a temporal thing.
Yes.
And what we have is eternity.
So yeah.
Even if they do it for a year, we go through this life for, 20, 30, 60, 70 years maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what are we really working for?
Amen.
We're working for Christ, no matter what else happens.
Yeah.
We gain.
Amen. Another one. Comment. Go ahead.
I was just thinking about what you were saying about Paul. And so we
think
about sufferings. It's like, I've never had stones thrown at me.
That's right.
I've never been driven out of a town, thrown in prison. All these things that Paul experienced multiple times. I think he got left for dead like a couple of times. So even when we talk about the afflictions and sufferings, we're even thinking about the Christians in Afghanistan right now, right, that are like being chased down and hunted down. I'm encouraged by your encouragement by these verses that, like, wow, we have it great. Like, the afflictions that we have could be so exponentially worse. Thinking of Paul as just an example. So praise the Lord that the things that I'm even considering as suffering are so different than what our brother Paul did in the Bible. So to me, that's encouraging, because if he was able to write all this in the midst of all that as being the most persecuted Christian ever and suffering more than anyone else, how much more can we be encouraged to strive for and pray to be these superheroes like you're saying?
Because
I'm encouraged by all those brothers and sisters you just talked about that.
Amen.
Are doing great things for God. So.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
How about one more? Rob.
Yeah, just talking about what the...
I called him Robert one time, and he said, no, my name's Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Fred talked about the suffering of the ninja warriors. That's kind of like a self-inflicted suffering.
Yeah. Yes.
Whereas, Christian suffering is not something that... It's somewhat voluntary, but it's not something where we go out and try to get for it.
Right.
It's a little different to me.
Yeah.
And it's a lifetime of it.
Yeah. Amen.
It's minor or great suffering. It's a lifetime. And that's where that second part comes into that equation.
Yeah. Amen. One more. What time is it?
1 minute.
1 minute.
Quick.
If you go 30 seconds, I'll give 30. You can yield 30 to him. No, I'm just kidding.
I was listening to Pastor John MacArthur, and he was talking about you can take an easy road. You can be a closet Christian and still have faith, but if you are an actual a Christian speaking out to others, witnessing, trials and tribulations, they're going to come. It's a natural outpouring. I'm done.
Great.
Almost the exact same. I can say a lot of times we've avoided suffering because we're afraid to speak. Oh, they might get mad, or they might. But sometimes you have to do that. When you talk to people sometimes about, for example, a lifestyle or something, they get mad and they get angry, and sometimes they tell lies about you because you said something.
Right.
You're being unfair, you're being unloving, you're being unkind. But the truth is, you're being the most loving you can by telling them the truth, and they need to repent, or they're going to suffer.
Forever.
Torment.
That's right.
And so, but the thing is, that's part of the reason a lot of us don't suffer is because we're so quiet and comfortable, we aren't actually doing our job as Christians to speak. I mean, that's why they were thrown into the lion's den or thrown into the fire or things like that, because they didn't compromise. Yeah. And that's a problem that we have in this comfortable country.
Thank you. Beautiful. Lord, we thank you. Your word is outstanding. It's overwhelming. It's overflowing. It's changed our lives. It's changing our lives. Lord, change our life today. Stop this nonsense in our lives. Help us to look only to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.